The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Brian McClain and Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome to State of the Nation right here on today's News Talk. TNTRadio.live is where you find us online. I'm here with Lynn Shaw today. Lynn, welcome to State of the Nation.
Thank you, Brian. How are you doing today?
Never had it so good. Ready to shift and sift through the headlines with you and our wonderful guest today, right here on today's News Talk. Lynn, let me first get your take on this one. Biden accuser has fled to Russia. Tara Reid has reportedly defected to Moscow after fearing she might end up in prison or dead. But an expert has suggested that the reports amount to little more than trumped up propaganda from Moscow. So she spoke at a news conference with Sputnik International, which Fox is quick to point out, a Russian state-owned news agency. So I don't really know what to make of this one. What do you think, Lynn? Did she really need to leave for her safety? And was Moscow the place to go?
Well, first of all, we don't have proof. We don't really know if Tara Reid is there. I did reach out to her several times, I would say in the past couple of months, and she was preparing whatever happened to her congressional hearing. She was working up with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was preparing for something with Congress. She kept telling me that. I kept hearing about that. I think, Brian, if something didn't happen to her by now, I think she's safe. That would be my take on the whole situation. But you know, Brian, I'm remaining very calm, but I have like five headlines that might just fall out of my mouth. I won't be able to help myself. Do you want me to say anything, or would you like to continue leading the charge?
No, roll me one. I want to hear what's burning a hole in your pocket today. Yeah, hit me one. Hit me with five.
Oh, really? Oh my goodness. Where's the Biden crime family update? Come on, everybody. Biden crime family updates. Debt ceiling. I don't want to hear any debt ceiling talk. You know what I want to hear about? Where's the money for infrastructure such as human trafficking, border, law enforcement, our kids, safety, crime? That's what I want to hear about. And I got to thinking a lot about Ukraine. We really don't know what's going on in Ukraine. We just know that our taxes and billions of dollars just keep going into this endless quote unquote war. So I'd like a follow-up on that. I also want to know why Chick-fil-A, when you lose Chick-fil-A in America, you lose America. I want to know what's going on. And I believe, Brian, it's part of all of this, corporate equity inclusion program directly from Wall Street. And I ask you, I'm asking all these people in the financial business, hedge fund people, Wall Street people, I keep asking these things in the last 48 hours. And they're all like, we don't know what you're talking about. What is this CEI? I don't know anything about that. And I finish up with one last fact, because I don't want to hog the microphone, Brian. Who are these children in upstate New York teens eating a beloved swan and thinking it's a duck, and killing and stealing the four little babies that went with the swan? Now tell me, what is going on? It is the world. It is the United States turned upside down.
Everything's upside down. Everything is inverted. And our language has been corrupted. That makes it very difficult to even have these discussions. It's like we have to basically stop when we meet new people on every other word and say, well, how do you define, racism, or how do you define, this or that? I mean, all the words are messed up. And there was an adult with those people that ate the swan. So, what kind of, mentorship, guardianship, parentship? I'm not sure what the relationship there is, but what are you doing? Like, what you grooming?
Oh, there was an adult. There was an adult with them.
I believe there was an adult with them. And it's like you're grooming kids commit crimes and eat, swans. Like,
well,
what is
this? It was 3 o'clock in the morning from what I read. Now, remember, we can't believe everything we read. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I say, what are people doing out hunting for ducks at 3 a.m? And then how do you mistake a swan for a duck and then steal the babies? And I think I read somewhere, there was an 18-year-old with them. I guess that's considered the adult.
Okay.
But it's
all
just,
right.
it's, that could be, I read that somewhere. What's going on here? And if they were 14, 15, the other ones, I'm sorry, I don't want to be too judgy, but I have to be this way in 2023. Parent up, everybody. Where are the parents? If the kids, you know, 13, 14, 15 are out 3 a.m. hunting for ducks. I mean, I just ask these simple questions, Brian. I just ask.
They are. They're simple questions. And I have a great answer for you on the debt ceiling one. I don't want to hear about it either. I don't want to hear about it until we defund and shut down DHS. Let's start with Department of Homeland Security. Let's just start right there. We could slash that part of the budget, stop that part, that wing of weaponized government from harassing people and trampling on people's rights and stop them from having this open border thing. We could probably kill multiple birds with that one stone there at DHS.
And also, I just have to throw this in. What have I been telling you for about 2 weeks now, Brian? It always works out, this whole debt ceiling thing. Everybody's fixated on it. They like it. They hate it. They're fighting. It's a distraction from everything else. Because you know what? I'm sitting in the middle of New York City. Who's talking about the border today? Not many people. Who's talking about the unaccompanied 85 or maybe 88,000, depending what you read, children missing that are in this country somewhere? And we talk to a lot of law enforcement, you and me, Brian, and none of them have the answers. It's like a big question mark. People will say, that's a good question. Nobody seems to know. Like, these are the questions I want, you know, I'm demanding answers for. I want to know. And I want to know about the 1 in 4 children in the United States who go to bed at night, American children hungry. I want answers about these kind of questions.
Right. Well, those are not sexy questions to ask in this particular point in our history. But hey, we're going to keep asking them. And we've got our first guest joining us right now. And she's an expert on many of the things that we just talked about here and many more. A good friend of mine, a colleague, Karen Hunt, is joining us, writer, artist, kickboxer. She's the woman who started the first boxing club for girls in Luxor, Egypt. She's an author. She writes books for young adults, and she writes some of the best essays on Substack. You can find her on Substack at khmezek, MEZEK.substack.com. Karen, welcome to State of the Nation. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. First off, I think maybe we should take any commentary you have on any of our openings there. Do you want to throw anything in on anything that we mentioned there as we came into the show?
Yeah, I do. I always go back to this, you know, when we can't believe what's happening in the news or, you know, as you were talking about how the world is everything's upside down. I used to live, actually, I lived in communist Yugoslavia during the 80s. And as a child, my family traveled quite extensively through communist countries. And we actually smuggled Bibles into communist countries. And there's a Chinese writer, Wu Zuyang, who explains about this, the news, how to read the news. He says, you have to read the news upside down. He says, for example, so you could apply this to the United States. If the party says that it has made great strides towards corruption in Henan, then you know that corruption has recently been especially bad in Henan. If you read about the heroic rescue of 8 miners somewhere, you can guess that a mine collapse might have killed hundreds who aren't mentioned. So read upside down. If you read upside down, there's a sense in which the official press never lies. It cannot lie. It has to tell you what the party wants you to believe. And if you can figure out the party's motive, which always exists, then you have a sense of truth. And this, I feel, is I apply this all the time. I've never forgotten this quote. I put it in one of my original essays. And another thing is that, you know, for us Westerners, we get hung up on what's true or what is not true. But for the regime, truth and falsity, it's beside the point. A statement might be true, false, or partly true. It doesn't matter. All that matters is whether it works. Does it advance the interests of the party? And the top leaders, they hand out words and phrases, and their minions, which would be the press, use like trowels in the garden. The minions dig with them. And that's sort of my contribution to what you were speaking about. If we can remember those things, then we're never confused about what's going on, actually. We have to read upside down.
Absolutely. You know, that was illustrated very well in James O'Keefe's recent gotcha video on James or on Fetterman's aide, you know, one of his media aides. He flat out said, we do access journalism. Access journalism is where they say what we tell them to say. And, you know, this is just some 30 something punk working for, you know, for Fetterman. So that's absolutely the right attitude to take. Now I'm here with Lynn Shaw, and I think Lynn wants to ask you about tattoos and your recent article there. Lynn, take us away. This is such an interesting article, wasn't it?
Well, first of all, Karen, I have been fascinated. I'm here in New York City, and I've noticed over the last few years, everywhere I look, from, you know, like 12 years old to 80, I don't exaggerate, people are walking around with these tattoos. So I wake up the other day, and in my face was a tattoo tale. It just was there. And I started reading it. And I'm like, wow, this is the most thorough, like treatise, a thorough expose of cultural conditioning and habituation, and should be mandatory reading. I want everybody to read this for anyone daring to care. But I feel that the ultimate step will be, implantation. I'm thinking about of devices, which you mentioned, either, you know, through nanotechnology or subcutaneously. Like, what do you think? Because for the last few years, I'm like, the next thing people are going to be implanting things. It's just taking off around here. So fill us in about a tattoo tale and where you think this is all going.
Yeah, so I've been very fascinated. I mean, I'm an artist and a writer, and I when I write essays, I have to, you know, I'm always amazed that people can just like spit out these articles, because I have to sort of conceptualize things and bring a lot of different things together and make something that I find, you know, really fascinating. So that's kind of what I did with, and I'm glad you like it. Thank you so much. That's what I did with this essay. And I was fascinated by tattoos because you do see more and more people wearing them. I also, you know, there's so many different ways that people express themselves through tattoos. For example, something that I didn't have time to mention in my article is that in the 1990s, I started a creative writing program for incarcerated youth in Los Angeles, which is still going to this day. And we wrote a lot about, I worked with girls who had these tattoos sort of branded on them by the men, you know, in the gangs who sort of owned them. And so there's all these different aspects to tattoos that we can look at. But the whole idea behind it, what really chilled me was when I started seeing children wearing these, you know, putting their parents buying them these fake cute little tattoos. Parents, very even conservative parents that would never want their children to have tattoos, not even realizing how they are, in a sense, this overused word, but okay, I'll use it, grooming their own children to eventually accept these types of implants or things put on their bodies. So this is where I was leading with it. And there's a lot that you can see going on where we are being just led to accept more and more intrusions upon our bodies. And I go into the history of tattoos where, you know, it used to have some sort of meaning to certain societies. But now it's just basically something that you do without any thought or tradition or meaning behind it. Okay, you have your own personal meaning perhaps, but it's not really, it's you know, as with everything, the entire meaning, the historical and traditional meaning of it has been taken away, and it's just something that you put on yourself. So the next step is then to be able to put on these e-tattoos, which are flexible electronic components which have like conductive ink that can track important information. And they're very similar to children's decorative tattoos. They're applied to the skin by making them damp. So it's sort of like a smart band-aid. And for, you have to understand that for children, for kids, for young adults, these things are really cool. So then you've got, you know, digital tattoos that can monitor movement, that can monitor your muscle performance or heart activity. You've got graphene-based patches that they're developing in South Korea, which are put on with a micro needle array, and it injects. And in fact, these things can then inject, just, you know, if you're on medication, They can inject just the right amount of medication. How convenient. But, you know, to understand what all of this is leading to is very, very chilling. And then the next step, of course, is to actually implant things under the skin and to become sort of part machine. So this is a sort of a progression that's leading us in down this very, very dark path.
So would you say this is sort of a place where there's a Venn diagram mixing up of like AI, artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality, transhumanism, and transhumanism is the big umbrella here, right?
Mm-hmm. It's always the ultimate goal, but transhumanism, and you could say posthumanism, you know, for an elite few, and we are sort of the rats in the lab, and they've incredibly now put the entire planet as rats in a lab. I mean, it's quite incredible. So as a lot of my essays deal with that. And one thing that people don't understand a lot about is RFIDs, which are radio frequency identification. And I talked about this in previous essays, but I put it in this one. And so when you think about it's like a tag, understand, you know, we are being tagged. I have this one, and then I have this article about this mother who actually basically tags her two adorable little girls so that she knows where they are. And then she has trained them like a dog, you know, to come when they hear a certain sound, basically, and they will come to her. And she thinks that's great because it's a way to protect her children. And we hear this over and over again, health and safety, you know, do this because you love your children, do this because, you know, it's the right thing to do. But in actual fact, it's actually imprisoning us more and more. And what people don't realize is that, unique identifiers, they want to put unique identifiers on everything and everyone. Electronic product codes potentially enabled to be put on every object on Earth to have its own unique ID. There are already hidden readers, RFID readers, that have been experimentally embedded into floor tiles, woven into carpeting and floor mats, hidden in doorways, incorporated into shelvings and counters, making it virtually impossible for you to know when you're being scanned. All right. So all of this is happening, but eventually, just like we have, you know, Alexa in our home listening to who would ever think that they would want that? Somebody listening inside their home, literally to everything that they're talking about. So this is the next thing.
And they love it, Karen.
Just natural. Exactly. Yeah. They think it's so cool. And
they're
what kid
it.
Wouldn't, what young person wouldn't think it was the coolest thing in the world to be like Harry Potter, to just think with their mind to open a door? and is that not every parent's nightmare? You know,
or nightmare. But Karen, we have to let you. We have to let you go. Unfortunately, I want you to come back. Brian wants you to come back. I'll tell you why. Because first of all, we will be sharing a tattoo tale with everybody. But you have some the Luddite kids saying no to smartphones. We want to talk about that. Who owns everything about our water? That is a must that we must discuss. Everybody, please break free with Karen Hunt on Substack. Excellent writings. Thank you, Karen. Promise us you will
Thank
come back
you so much.
We need to talk more about
All
everything.
Right.
Thanks for joining us today on State of the Nation. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jesse Zurawell.
Technology like ChatGPT must be looked at as Trojan horse technology. It's rolled out to the masses as a novel, if controversial, tool to be played with, to be experimented with. It's inserted into education, creates a hubbub there as to whether or not students can or should use this to write papers. But the point being that this technology, ChatGPT, language learning technology, is inserted into society and allowed to essentially run amok. And there's an acceptance, a mass acceptance, that comes along with that. Meanwhile, as that acceptance is building, there are hideous entities like Palantir putting language learning technology to use in a military capacity and to use in a business capacity. But that's the Trojan horse aspect of what we're talking about.
Jesse Zirawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yau Nui, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yau Nui Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yau Nui. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yau Nui and experience our magic places, magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Brian and Lynn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You're in for a treat, everybody. Kelly Smith is joining us, former co-host of Ozarks Fox AM. She is a proud American, and she loves to say that. She's a TV host. She does commercials. She's been featured with Terry Bradshaw. She works in Branson, Missouri. And she's the best share. Well, Kelly, jump in. Do you call yourself an impersonator? What do you just jump in here? What do you call? I thought you were actually Cher. Impressionist. Okay, impressionist. And also endorsed by Olivia Newton-John to portray her. Welcome, Kelly Smith, to State of the Nation.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It is an honor to join you here. I am so thankful to get to speak with you all. Yes, I'm a proud American. I think this is the best country in the world, and I want to see that stay in place.
Amen, sister, as I like to say. Now, listen, I am here along with Brian McLean. You are a resident of the Ozarks, an area we don't talk about a lot. fill us in the landscape, the history just a little bit so everybody knows where you are in America.
Okay. I used to say I was from the Springfield area. We are the third largest city in Missouri, but now more people know us if we say that we're from Branson. So Branson became a hotspot for country music and live music shows it started in 1959, and of course Silver Dollar City was also born around that time, and we've just become a big mecca of live shows, comedy, and just to have to tell you the truth, we're kind of known to be hillbillies around here. But it's a beautiful country. I love it. but it's a beautiful country. We love the lakes. Just lots to do here in the area.
Well, I just want to jump in. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm hogging everything today. I just can't help myself. But I want to jump in, Kelly.
Hello,
because
Brian.
I'm a proud...
Hi, Kelly. I'm listening intently.
I'm going to let him speak in a minute, Kelly. But, you know, I'm a proud New Jersey native and was horrified, Kelly, by the media take on my home state, The Sopranos, that TV show, The Sopranos, mm-hmm. The Jersey Shore. Then we had that horrible Real Housewives of New Jersey. So I have to bring this up. You know, what did the series Ozarks do to depict your area of America?
Well, I did see a little bit of that show. Was a little dark for me, but the truth is, I know it was tongue-in-cheek. We call this area the Ozarks, but that was actually shot at Lake of the Ozark, which is, I was there the other night for a concert. It's another lake area. It's about an hour and a half from here, an hour 45. And honestly, it didn't depict what this area is. I'm up that way. The landscape is not even as pretty as it is down here in the Branson, northern Arkansas area or southern Arkansas. It's gorgeous here. And yeah, I kind of hated that show came out and people were like, oh, but I will have to say, I don't know why, because maybe it's so rural or whatever, people are bored. We kind of have been known for, you know, a lot of mess and people, you know, making their own drugs and that sort of thing. Not to mention the moonshine that came years ago and still probably happens. But, the Ozark series, it's not that dark here. I think we have problems all over the United States, and I think it's kind of the same thing, you know, drugs and homelessness and all the things, breaking up the family, all the things that lead to what we're seeing now.
Hey, Kelly, I find that one good indicator of how conservative a location is if you know people named Haas or Bubba. Do you know any Haases or Bubbas?
Let's see. I know some people that go by Hawk or Bubba, and let me just tell you, my husband's got a shirt that says, "I hear banjo picking, paddle faster." Do you know the movie?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Anyway, you know what? This is my home. I've grown up around here. Now, I will tell you, the Springfield area, I don't see it as conservative as you know, the Branson area. It's family entertainment. They've fought to keep the casinos out. They really want to preserve the area for family entertainment and that sort of thing. But I think the problem with our nation, I mean, I just have to say this. I think it starts right now with the border. That's my biggest issue with the nation, because it is, you know, those drugs are flowing across and they're getting into the hands of people all over. They don't, you know, they've got a drug problem anyway, but they don't even know what they're getting their hands on.
You know what? You know what there, Kelly? That's a big can of worms we're about to open up. Hold that thought. We're going to take a headline here with the station. We'll be right back. This is State of the Nation on TNT Radio.
Big news, big news. Actually, we do have some big news.
Big news? Big news, big
news. Yay.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Speaker Kevin McCarthy tamped down Republican opposition ahead of Wednesday's vote on the debt ceiling bill, saying, "I'm confident we'll pass the bill." A 15-year-old soccer player has died after suffering severe brain injuries during a post-match brawl with an opposing team at an international youth tournament in Germany over the weekend. Air New Zealand says it wants to weigh 10,000 passengers during a month-long survey, so pilots can better know the weight and balance of their planes before takeoff.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
We're speaking with Kelly Smith, and you can find her, everybody, on Facebook, Kelly Smith TV, also on Instagram. She has beautiful pictures. Kelly Smith TV, also a resident of the Springfield Ozarks area. We'll say that for now. Kelly, we're getting into what's going on around the United States. We're interested in finding out. I'm in New York City, as you know, and Brian's in Texas. But what do you see? Because I know we've spoken offline and we know each other for a while. What are you seeing with your youth in particular? Are you seeing anything? Do you see any people that might be illegals in your area? I know we talk a lot about in your community, there's been a lot of problems with child hunger and things like that. So give us the landscape. What is going on? And what's different from even 5 years ago, maybe pre-COVID to now?
We do see a lot of people just walking around that don't look like they have a home. They don't look like they belong anywhere. They're having seizures. It looks like they are on some kind of drug. The problem in the area for malnutrition is huge. And I've wondered myself why it's so heavy in this area. We have so many different food pantries. We've got the Ozarks Food Harvest, which is a huge organization, but they supply to all these other food pantries. We used to have them on the show all the time, and they just say that the need is growing. There are kids that don't get breakfast. There are kids in the summertime that don't have enough food, so that's what they do. They have these backpack programs, and, you know, I'm just wondering what the answer is. Is it the drugs? Is it the parents? They're on drugs, and they just leave the kids, or they are not working. The COVID situation caused a lot of issues. You know, people want to numb their pain. I guess that's what, I'm not an addictive kind of personality, but I just think people, you know, I don't understand why people go to drugs, but they don't want to deal with their emotions. They don't want to deal with their pain. And it just, it sets up a whole lot of, you know, fallout.
And Kelly, what is it? Are you seeing things getting any worse? I mean, I was just down at the southern border, and you know, we had this Title 42 end, and it was like the media got very polarizing about it, and then it's gotten a little bit quiet since then. And while I was down there, I started to kind of understand the way they're managing the optics on all this and the flow of people. But are you seeing the effect, any changes yet in your location with regards to this? Because we're starting to see it all across the country.
We are starting to see it here a little bit. You know, I don't know if we've seen it as much as some other places, but, you know, it's on my mind every day. And I'll tell you another thing that's on my mind, and I'm glad we're on this radio program, and I just wish we could get people to understand. I'll tell you, I was talking to my older brother and sister-in-law just a couple of days ago, and somehow politics came up. They think the border right now is as secure as it was under Trump. And I mean, we got this whole discussion going, and I just had to leave. Our media is not telling the truth. And yes, it's affecting all of us. And this is my biggest issue. How do we end this? What do we do?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out,
I'm
too.
I'm asking, yeah.
I mean, we're looking at over like 3 million people now that have already come here. I mean, that's a huge number.
Yes, and we don't know who's coming. We don't know who's coming. I mean, there are plenty of people that are not friendly to us. How, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand how we can. We are not a sovereign nation anymore because of this. And half of our public doesn't even know what's happening.
You know, I'm curious, Kelly, what did they say to you, your brother? Like, did they give an argument of why they think the border is secure? Like, what did they say?
Well, it's just not talked about. It's not talked about on MSNBC and CNN. They don't discuss it.
No, but okay. So, because I'm always curious when people like defend, like, you know, the current administration, or they defend the border. Like, what are they witnessing or thinking as we're seeing the same visuals or we're getting the same information? I mean, you got to somewhere, if you sign onto a computer, you know, headlines pop up. You got to hear somewhere how bad it is, or your child has to say, these children showed up in the back of my classroom. Like, I don't understand the denial everybody's in.
Well, I think the thing is I don't think we're in an area that is being as affected. I don't think we are. I think that will come, but I think until it's in someone's face, I think it's by omission. You know, they don't show these images on certain TV. They show them. I mean, so that means it's not there. And if it's not affecting you personally, you know, you're not a farmer in Texas. You don't see people coming over in droves. You don't find deceased people in your barn. You know, if it's not in your backyard, you just think, my brother said, we've been hearing these things for years. The world's coming to an end. Nothing ever happens, Kelly. Nothing's any different. It's all fine. They totally don't believe it because it's not being talked about.
Yeah, and the thing that they told you, your brother, I think, that it's more secure than it's ever been. That's just repeating a talking point from Mayorkas. Like, that's a sound bite. That's the repetition of a sound bite. And it's just, I can understand why you have to walk away from things like that, because you're not.
I just had to.
Yeah.
The truth matters. I said, here's what I believe. I believe that people are bent a certain way. I believe they choose what they want to believe based on a social issue or based on some kind of religious experience or lack of that they had. I believe they choose what they want to believe. And the rest, I said, listen, guys, prove me wrong. I would love to be wrong. Let's find the truth here.
You know, Kelly, I see that the mayor of Springfield, Ken McClure, is going to do a State of the City address tomorrow evening. Have you heard about this? Do you know what he's going to address? Do you have any thoughts? What's going on with this?
I do not know. I have been, I will have to tell you, I'm taking care of my father. My head's been kind of buried in that. I don't know what he's up to. I do feel that the city of Springfield leans a little bit to the left, you know, in their way of governing. I do have to tell you, all of our news is that way. And having worked for the news station, you know, and even in the lifestyle show, I would have to cringe when I would hear what was coming across, you know, coming across the airwaves. I just, you know, you're seeing it all over the country, whether it's the wokeness, whether it's with Target or whether it's with Bud Light or, and I feel like we have to stand up. And I feel like people are starting to realize that.
Yeah. Excellent words, Kelly Smith. Right. They are standing up. We're even losing Chick-fil-A today. They're starting to bend to the wokeness, something I'd never think I'd have to say.
No, I heard about that too. And I feel like the way I understand it is these companies, well, they just hired this guy. Who? Why would they hire somebody? They've done so well with the stance that they had before. You know, it's kind of like in the Bible, it says, you know, he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We have to take a side.
Well, that's up for a whole other program, Kelly. You know, we've got this corporate equity index that everybody seems to be following. I don't hear what I keep questioning also. I don't hear like shareholders, you know, stockholders on all of these company boards speaking up about anything. Well, give us Kelly, some final thoughts and we have to let you go. What do you want to leave us with?
Well, I want to leave you with this one idea that a really great person named Linda Brown started in our area, and she started an organization called Eden Village, Tiny Home Community, and that is helping people in the area. They have to pay $300 a month for rent. They have a brand new home with two bedrooms. It's a beautiful model that other people are looking at in other communities. There are three of them here, and they were built in sites that were trailers prior. And so they're all set up for water and sewer, and it's a great thing. And I do think that we got to go to the source, and we got to help people get off drugs, and we got to close that border. We got to start at the root of the problem and save the family. But until then, if we can get people housed that want to do their part, we're going to be in better shape.
I say Kelly Smith for president. That's where we're going to leave it today. Kelly, yes. Thank you, Kelly, for joining us today. Everybody on Facebook, Kelly Smith TV. Yes, and also on Instagram, Kelly Smith TV. Thank you, Kelly. Please come back. We want to hear more about what's happening in your neck of the woods in America. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Bravo! EU Member of Parliament nails how to fight back on the Great Reset. You cannot comply your way out of tyranny.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
EU Member of Parliament Christine Anderson had these sage words of advice to the rest of us.
You cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. It is impossible. Trying to do so, you will only feed a gigantic alligator in the hopes of being eaten last. But guess what? Your turn will come.
Bravo, EU MEP Christine Anderson. Anderson went on to say, speak up, stop complying, start rebelling. She concluded with, I have decided to become so absolutely free that my very existence is an act of rebellion. Tyranny only happens with the consent of the governed. It is time to fight the Great Reset. Join the Great Reject. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Right of Center USA is working to educate tomorrow's leaders with facts and data-driven policy solutions, and to elect, empower, and encourage politicians willing to fight the corrupt status quo and truly represent we the people, with a focus on ROTC, National Guardsmen, Reservists, and GI Bill collegians. Right of Center USA provides internships that pass along our patriotic values to the next generation. Go to rightofcenterusa.org to learn how you can support its mission of creating tomorrow's leaders today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Brian McClain, Lynn Shaw, and State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So, Lynn, I'm looking at this headline here. It's just absolutely frustrating. U.S. government sent $1.3 billion to China and Russia for gender equality, cat experiments, and Wuhan lab research. So they want to give us all this debt ceiling hysteria, but they're also at the same time going to tell us, you know, hey, we've been out there $1.3 billion. I mean, I guess, is that small potatoes? It certainly wouldn't be small potatoes in most everybody's accounts, but for the U.S. government, maybe small potatoes. At any rate, gender equality in places like China and Russia. What, I mean, it's almost like ritual humiliation, right? Yeah, circus music.
I'm blocking it out. No, I'm blocking it out. It's like, aren't you bored, Brian, by this same talk every single day? I don't even want to address it. The only thing I want to address is truth, facts, and solutions. We just had Kelly Smith on. She's in the Ozarks, a completely different part of the country. I don't want to break it to her. We, you know, kind of ran out of time. But the whole thing with these illegal aliens that we're seeing in our major cities right now, they are going to eventually, in the very near future, be in the Ozarks. They're going to be fanned out. And they are already into every single state. This is happening as we sit here and speak. I want to know where all Americans are, why they are not speaking more about this and speaking up about it. So, you know, I don't want to hear about debt ceiling. I don't want to hear about, you know, Biden crime family unless we have some solutions and answers. I think I'm kind of on a roll today, Brian. I am sick of the Republicans. I am sick of the Democrats. They are doing nothing for their constituents, the American people. And I don't know what we can do except in our own home bases, like our own homes and communities, take care of one person, one family at a time. That is the only solution I can think of.
Right. Yeah. They're totally abysmal. I mean, there's maybe at best about 35 somewhat sane people sitting in just one chamber of Capitol Hill. And that's just not enough to make very much of a difference here. Well, you know what, Lynn, let's pull back a little bit. Let's see if we can't get a perspective from an American out here. I think we need to talk to a truck driver. I believe we have Jose representing truck drivers all over the nation on the line here. Jose, are you with us?
Yes. How are you?
Very good. Very good, sir. Thank you for joining us here on State of the Nation. It's a pleasure to have you.
Okay. Thank you. Being a truck driver,
let's get into some.
Now got to be.
Yeah, yeah. Tell
go
us,
ahead,
tell
Jose.
Us,
we want to hear
go
it.
Ahead.
Take,
tell us how
the
you
floor
got
is
into
yours.
This.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Being a truck driver in New York City now has gotten to be very crazy because there's no parking. City Bike took away parking spots for the city bikes. So we have a 20-foot truck, and it takes two spots. Sometimes you got to drive around the corner to get a spot. People park in the crosswalk. Now, with a 20-foot truck, you can't make the turn. Now, sometimes you have the bar bike lane. You park in the parking spot. When you get out the bike lane, you have to stand into it. People get mad and they spit at you. They throw bottles at you. If you double park,
oh my God,
now you take up, you can't park in the bike lane because I paid a ticket. So then the road is too narrow. And then people on the bike lane, they swerve in front of the truck. Or a scooter comes by and he don't care with no place, he swerves in front of the truck and you have to stop hard. Now it's not safe for us and we're getting too many tickets. So lots of people now, truck drivers don't want to be truck drivers no more. There's a big shortage in this industry. And it's going to continue because we have nowhere to park. And if we get into too many accidents, we either get summons or maybe one day we're going to go to jail. So the city has to change the policies and give us our parking spots back because they're taking up too many parking spots.
So you could actually go to jail when these kind of accidents and vulnerabilities have been kind of systemically placed in your path, like there's no protection from your employers?
No, there's no protection because the trucks doesn't have a camera in the front, and they don't. Sometimes people go right in front, and you have to stop short, and then someone else behind you crashes into you because they don't see the lights because they're too high. And then too many accidents, they fire you. And the insurance policy doesn't cover you no more. So it's not fair to us either. And then if we park in a bus stop or we park somewhere too close to fire, we get the ticket. Or if you're turning in a certain area, making a right turn, the people coming in the bicycle lane, it's on the right side. They don't care. They say they have the right of way. They go in front, and the truck driver hits them. What could happen? It's a deadly weapon, a truck. You can go to jail too.
This is incredible because Jose, nobody else is going to jail right now in New York City. But let me ask you something. We're told that autonomous driving will be here before you know it. We'll have no drivers in trucks. Can you imagine ever seeing these driverless trucks in New York City in this bumper to bumper traffic with all these crazed lunatics behind the wheel? What happens then? Do you ever talk about this with other drivers or ever think about what happens if there'd be a collision with an autonomous, there's no driver. How do you exchange information? Does anybody in the industry talk about this?
They talk about it in the unions, they do, but the union says, what can you do? They have no control of the people on the street, especially the bikes and scooters. They're driving crazy. And what do you have to do? You have to go slowly. Now, with the speed camera, too, if you go over, you get a ticket. They're taking a lot of money out of our pocket. Sometimes drivers don't make enough money, so they quit. And people are not going to have food on the table, and they're going to blame us when it's not us. It's also, it's unsafe.
So are young people, so you're saying there's a shortage of drivers, which we've been hearing across America, for the last couple of years. Are there any, and you also correct. Mentioned unions. So let me just go back on that. The union doesn't protect you in the event and represent you with collisions in New York City or stand up for you or anything. They just fire you or they throw you in jail or something like that.
The union,
if you hit somebody,
protect you a certain amount. Once the insurance company doesn't want you on the policy, they tell you, you can't be on the policy no more. And that's it for your job. The company's not going to look for another policy holder. They just get rid of you. And then you go home to your wife and kids with no job. It's unfair to us too.
Are any young people entering like the trucking business? Are there any kind of like expos to try to get them into the business? Or is it basically kind of a dying out business?
Correct. It's a dying out business. No one wants to come into it because if they come in, they see what's going on. It's a revolving door. They leave. They say, why should I be here not to make any money? Because also tickets are expensive. And then you have all these people jumping or they fight with you if you double park. They spit at you. They throw bottles at you. There's always a problem going on. Pretty soon someone's going to pull out a gun on a truck driver because he's in the way. Especially in Manhattan or the Bronx.
Well, we saw that in Charlotte just last week. A passenger on a bus demanded the bus stop between stops. So his dumbass could get off and go to a McDonald's. And when the bus driver said, no, you have to wait till the next stop, the guy pulled a gun on him. you know, and then the bus driver was fired for protecting himself against someone who was, you know, clearly threatening him with a deadly weapon. It's quite backwards. And when you're talking about the job and the industry and, you know, people not wanting to do it, the regulations working against the drivers, the city infrastructure working against the drivers, the legislation favoring bicycles and all this other stuff. I mean, and then as Lynn pointed out, there's also all this electronic infrastructure they're talking about bringing in, self-driving trucks and drone deliveries. Do you think that that's even a possible, you know, future? Like, can our state, can your state, and can our nation keep its supply chain going with such a giant cluster F of problems, and they think they're going to just solve it with more technology? Is that something that's manageable or doable in your estimation?
No. The only way to solve this is by stopping the scooters and the bicycles going crazy and giving back more parking to the trucks, because they took away parking spots for city bikes. That right there is a couple of trucks. But technology is not going to help, especially they want to put a toll into going to Manhattan. That's going to raise the prices of the goods for the people. And sometimes they raise the price, the truck driver doesn't get a raise either. He has to pay for certain things. So it's not a good the way the plan is to give us the parking back and to make these people on scooters have license plates just in case they crash into the truck. They have insurance, because it's not right that we'll have to pay out of our pockets for everything.
You know, Jose, here in the city, we're facing congestion pricing below 60th Street. They've been talking about it for a couple of years, and then COVID hit. They put it on delay. Now they said it will definitely be here in 2024. How would that affect, you know, it's like below 60th Street, all of Midtown, down to Wall Street. I don't understand, and again, I'm doing a lot of research, but I can't really find the information anywhere. How would that affect? I don't understand how trucks would be able to do all these deliveries and afford all of this in a failing business right now. Do they talk about that with the unions? Do you hear any talk? Do you guys and gals talk about this at all, the congestion pricing?
The unions do talk about it, but they say you're going to have to pay the toll because the city controls the street. They're going to go into the city. The prices are going to, the goods are going to be higher. People are going to buy less. You're going to make less. The consumer is always going to pay at the end of the day more and more and more, because it's going to be $260 a day for a truck. Plus, maybe if he gets a ticket, $115. And all ads on and on. It's too much money. He's going to go out of business. Any Pepsi or Boss Head independent owner will not be able to afford this. Even the vegetable guys, they're independently owned. They cannot go into the city and expect to make the money when they spend it on the city.
You know, Jose, I now want to bring us up. And so tell us, over the years, you've been doing this a long time, some of the good things. Did you ever see anything good happen when you were out driving the truck or delivering stuff? Any good stories to share?
Back in the 90s, it was nice. In the 90s, in the 2000s, it was nice. People respected each other. Now they're not respecting you. People just, they don't care. They'll spit on you and they'll ride away on a bicycle. They don't care because you're in their way. There's no respect that they don't have a door for you no more. That's how bad New York City has gotten. You're making a delivery, no one holds a door for you no more. You know, and back in the 2000s, in the 90s, it was pretty good, you know, living in the working in New York City and being part of it. It's a beautiful city to explore. But now, recently, it's gone really down towards the sewer, because of the way they're running it. The people out there have more privilege than the working people.
Well, you know, truck drivers are critical and crucial to our infrastructure. We know Manhattan, New York City, is an island, Jose. And I was always told, research shows that we only have goods and food to last 2 days. And then I guess we jump in the Hudson or the East River. We got to swim one direction or the other to try to get out of here. But we only have 2 days worth of goods and foods and things like that. Did you ever hear anything like that?
Yes, because it's not enough to bring in a tractor trailer into Manhattan to bring all the goods and supply. There's not enough room. There's not enough room for air conditioning guys to come in, construction workers to come in. It's too much delivery. There's not enough room. Like some construction sites have a permit for them to deliver, but not all supermarkets have the permit or delis.
Yet I see, Jose, more construction sites than I've ever seen in my entire life happening in New York City. These skyscrapers they're building, I don't know who's going into them because we have a lot of empty buildings. Well, Jose, Brian, and I thank you for taking the time, for joining us, for letting us know what it's actually like to be boots on the ground in New York City delivering goods. We thank you. Please stay safe and be well. And we'd like to get an update from you, sometime in the near future to see how things go. Thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Did you hear that, Bri?
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Other side of the mountain in the chat says, have more truckers on. This guy's sharing valuable info. So we will.
Well, call us. Let us know. We want the truckers. We want our infrastructure. We want our firemen, our police, our truckers. We want them. Come on, everybody. Step up. Come to State of the Nation.
That's right. We'll be right back.